So today, I will be talking on Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, if you want to flip there in your Bible. If you do not have a Bible, it will be up on these screens up here. So first off, let me tell you a quick story. So when I was little, I liked to do one thing. And that one thing was to wander away. I like to run away and do my own thing. When I was with my grandfather, we would go to Gander Mountain. If any of you know what Gander Mountain is, that's great. It's basically like Bass Pro Shop, just a little bit smaller. But I would go and I would ride the escalators up and down because I thought it was fun. Or how about this? When I went to any sort of clothing store, I would go and hide in the clothes racks because I wanted to play hide and seek by myself. I never lost. But there's one time that sticks out to me in particular, and that is at the most magical place on earth to me, when I was little, of course, the Indianapolis Children's Museum. Now, if any of you know what that is, it is this giant museum where kids of all ages can go and just be submersed into a bunch of fun, different things. So I was maybe 8 or 9. There was one exhibit that was my favorite, and it was the Treasure on Earth exhibit. They had 3 different exhibits along inside of that, and one of those was the Egyptian burial site of the ancient pharaoh Seti. Another one was Captain Kidd. I wasn't really big into mummies and stuff, so it was kind of whatever to me. But there was a pirate burial site of a pirate ship, and they had a cannon in there, which was pretty cool. But my favorite was the Lost Army of the Terracotta Warriors. Does any of you know what that is? Awesome. Well, in that part of the exhibit, there was one part, and it was this game, but it wasn't so much a game. It was kind of just a coloring station where you could sit your kids at and let them do their own thing. But I wanted to do it so bad. And we were standing in line, and forever, it felt like. It was probably like 10 minutes maybe, but it felt like forever. And we were standing there, and it finally gets to my turn. But my brother cuts in front of me, and I was so mad. I was throwing a temper tantrum. I was crying. I mean, probably the biggest temper tantrum I've ever thrown in my life. Just imagine that. That was me in that moment. See, as he gets done, I go to go for my turn, but how dare my mom? She tells me no. And they start walking away. I take the first two steps with them. I stop, I turn around, and I go back. I sit there, and I color my own terracotta warrior dude. Obviously, he's blue, because that was my favorite color. But when I get done, I stand up, and I look around, and I don't see anybody that I know. So I'm obviously terrified. I get up, I start crying. I have snot running down my nose. I'm all wet. And I thought I was going to die alone with my newfound friend, the terracotta warrior that I just painted. Do we not feel like that with God in our lives sometimes? You see, I know I have. I've definitely felt anxious. I've felt angry. I've felt abandoned. I've felt all of the things that are not true. You see, I ran and I ran, and I never found what I was looking for. So let me ask you, in the times that you have been anxious or afraid, or in the times as of recent with the recent forest fires, or with the hurricane, ask yourself, where is God in all of that? Well, I can tell you, he's right here. See, he promised to never leave nor forsake you. He promised that he will never abandon you. So as we read this story of the road to Emmaus, the two disciples that do not recognize that Jesus is walking with them because their hearts are too weighed down by disappointment or disabandonment. So if you would, read with me Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So if you're just like me, you're just as confused as I was with that last sentence. They were kept from recognizing him. In other translations, it says that God kept them from seeing him. Now, why in the world would God keep these two men from seeing the man that just died for them? Was it because he was embarrassed that his son was scarred up and bloody and just gross looking because he died? Or was it because God's just mean? No. It was because he wanted to teach them a lesson. You see, back in these times, the people of the time or Christians, they believed that Jesus was the one that would come and bring Israel back to its former glory. They believed that he would come and bring it in a big, blazing fashion. But his death actually shattered their hopes. They had seen everything from the burial, the trial, the crucifixion. They just didn't understand it. So as they were walking away from Jerusalem, disheartened and unsure of where to go next, they were met with Jesus. You see, what's incredible about this moment is that Jesus is walking directly beside them. He is talking with them. He's engaging with them. So let me paint it to you like this. Have you ever driven in an extremely thick fog? If you have you pulled over or do you keep driving? You keep driving because you trust that the road is still in front of you. You trust that that road is not going to stand up and walk 5 feet to the right. If it did, there's some major problems there. But you trust that the road is going to stay there. Is God not our road? He is always right there. He is always, he's not always in front of you, but he is behind you and he is beside you. See, there are times in life where you may feel spiritually lost or abandoned. You may feel like you're walking through the darkness, unsure of where God is. But even when you do not feel his presence, that's when he's there the most. He is there 110% of the time and he will meet you where you are. He will never expect you to go out. I mean, he does to go talk to other people, but, you know. See, even when you feel unsure or unsafe, God is always there. So he doesn't just walk with us. He can also open our eyes with his word. So if you would, read with me the next verses, 17 through 27. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. So in these verses, we see Jesus telling these two men who he is. But he's not only telling them who he is showing them who he is as well. See, as Jesus walks with these disciples, he first asks them what they're discussing. They then explain that they're talking about all the things that had happened around Jesus' death, how he had died, and how that they had hoped that he was the one who was going to bring Israel back. See, they couldn't understand what had happened. He was crucified, And now his body is gone. Jesus then gently rebukes them and calls them foolish for not believing all of the things that the prophets had said. He goes on to explain for Moses and all of the other prophets that Scripture points to him and the necessity of his suffering before entering into his glory. So, it is said by Moses in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From your fellow Israelites you must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voices of the Lord our God, nor see the great fire anymore, or we will die.' The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my word in his mouth. He will tell them everything I commanded him.'" Who is this prophet that Moses is talking about? It's not Moses. It's not Elijah. It's not Isaiah. It's not Elisha. It's not King David. It's not King Solomon. Then who in the world is this guy? Well, it's Jesus. Jesus is this man that they are talking about. You see, we see it again in Isaiah 53 with the story of the suffering servant. But Jesus is pointing out to the two disciples that he is the suffering servant. You see, this is a turning point because Jesus uses Scripture to help them see the bigger picture, that it was not that Jesus hadn't fulfilled his mission, but his mission was just as the Scriptures foretold it to be. Let me paint it to you this way. How many of you guys like to do puzzles? So you got thousands and thousands of pieces. This puzzle piece goes with this puzzle piece. And these two go with this one over here. And then this one goes with this one over here. And that one back here goes with these. And you lay it out and you get this massive, beautiful picture. Scripture is also just like a massive puzzle. You see, this piece of Scripture goes directly with this one. And this one references this one. And this one collides with this one. And you lay it out, and what is the picture that is painted? It's the picture of Jesus as our Messiah. You see, his grace actually opened their eyes, and the Scriptures helped them to see how everything fit together. The Bible is God's way of revealing who he is and what his plan is for our salvation. When we read the Scriptures, we should not just see words, but we should also see Jesus in every single part of the story, whether it's the laws, whether it's the prophets, or the wisdom literature. Every single part of the Bible points to Christ, and it helps us understand who he is and what he came to do. Once we recognize Jesus through his word, we are called to share the good news with others. Read with me verses 28 through 35. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. You see, when we truly encounter Jesus, we should be compelled to share his good news with others. You see, after these disciples' eyes were opened and they immediately recognized Jesus, they didn't just sit there in shock, jaws to the floor. No, they got up and ran back to Jerusalem immediately. See, the disciples, amazed and filled with joy, immediately had reflected on the powerful conversation that they had had with Jesus. Their hearts burned within them as they revealed the truth of his scriptures. So imagine this, your son or your daughter have their first grandkid, or your grandkid scores the game-winning goal in soccer or the game-winning touchdown in football. What is the first thing that you want to do? You want to go to Facebook and you want to post about it and be like, hey, look at this, my kid just did this. Should we not be like that with Jesus and his news? Should we not be so excited that we can't control ourselves and be like an overexcited puppy and just want to jump all over the place and screaming his word throughout the halls? You see, it doesn't matter if it's an inconvenience or if it feels uncomfortable, because we are called to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable. You see, just like the disciples, when we recognize the power of Jesus' resurrection, we need to be compelled to go and share this truth with the world. So let me ask you this. Is there someone in your life who needs to hear about the hope and joy that Jesus offers? If so, don't keep it to yourself. Just as the disciples went and rushed to share this news, I encourage you to do the same. So let me finish the story that I started at the beginning. So to recap, I had run off. I was crying, and I was wet from the snot and the tears that had rolled down my shirt and all over me. And I didn't know what to do. And as I was running throughout, I saw this leg that looked extremely familiar. And I went up and I grabbed this leg with all the force that I could, and I wrapped onto it, and I looked up, and it was not who I thought it was. So immediately I backed off, horrified of what I had just done. And as I took my step back, a familiar hand grabbed my shoulder. It was warm and soft and comforting. And I stopped, and I turned around. It was my mom. My mom had been behind me the whole time, but I was just too blind by my own fear and doubt to even turn around and see her. Is God not that hand? So I don't know what you may be holding on to today. Just like I was holding on to that leg, I encourage you to let go and take that step back. And let God put his warm, comforting hand on you. Whatever those things may be, let go of them. Maybe it's willingly, or maybe it's unwillingly. Whether it's money or relationships, let it go. Because I hope that you will turn around to the warm and gentle touch that God has waiting for you. So right now, if you have not been baptized, or if you have not accepted God the Father as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to come up and you can talk to myself, you can talk to David or Hoyt, and we can baptize you today if you so choose. Let's pray real quick. God, I pray that you will open our eyes and open our hearts and just allow us to see the error of our own ways. I know that sometimes we may be blind to it, but I pray that we can let go of those things that are holding us to what we are holding on to. And just let us take that step back, and God, I just pray that you'll grab onto our shoulders and just rip us a new one and just bring us into your kingdom. In your son's name I pray, amen.